Hello and welcome once again to the CGW Radio Podcast. We are back, finally. Yay! Because we've been off for 2 weeks, and even just now today, it looked like we weren't going to do it again because of technical difficulties. Because that's what all our problems are, right, guys?
Strictly technical.
Technical problems. As usual, we'll let the gang introduce themselves, starting with you, sir.
Hi, I'm Sean.
The other Sean, CGW previews editor.
Right. Actually, before we go on, we realize now that's a problem. People don't know Sean from Sean.
Right.
What are we going to do about that?
Here's a quick voice check. Hi, I'm Sean.
Hi, I'm the other Sean. I'm S-E-A-N. it's really distinct, isn't it?
If they knew the spellings, they would know you are two different guys.
Yeah. Right, but that's really hard. You could call me Cian, but I don't really like
Cian.
Yeah.
How about Dingo?
Dingo?
That's a... from the past.
What is is that an old nickname,
that's
Dingo?
That's an old nickname of
that's
his.
Okay. Game Pro alias.
Yeah, my handle
Dingo.
At Game Pro was
I was not, Fart of War on Game Pro.
Fart of War. Okay, I was going to say Dingo wasn't dignified, but Fart of War.
That's dignity.
All right, and also with us?
Ryan.
Yay. And Darren.
Yay. All right, so we've got Sean, Ryan, and Darren. And me. And we're here, and we're sorry we haven't been around for a couple of weeks. We tried 2 weeks ago, didn't we? We were actually sitting here with our headphones on, ready to record.
Even had a special guest.
We had a special guest from Blizzard, or ex from Blizzard.
Ex Blizzard.
Not Blizzard anymore. But the equipment failed us. And then last week we were just lame. Last week's our fault.
Yeah. Well, our normal time, we were gone because of the holiday.
The holiday. All right. I blame our forefathers. It was their fault.
Everything.
For freeing us from England. Okay. So we're here. We're sorry. We'll stay here. We'll keep recording regularly. And now that we've had 2 weeks to go by, that means we have a lot to talk about, don't we?
We
sure do.
Some of us have been out, though. Sean/Scene was on vacation, and then I was in Germany for the cover story we're working on now.
Right.
So.
That's
I guess I could say it was game time. I was playing Crysis, but not so much time to be playing, you know, playing games here.
Yeah, I didn't touch a computer while I was gone. But.
Great. You guys are useless.
I know, I'm lame.
All right, you should detach.
So we come back after 2 weeks and you come on to say you haven't been playing games?
Well, after that next week I did.
Okay. Right. And what did you play the following week?
That's when I downloaded the Prey demo.
See, now we're talking.
And?
I liked it. I had no expectations whatsoever for it.
Yeah.
But the portal stuff was cool, and the anti-gravity stuff was cool.
It's going to be very interesting to see how this game does.
Yeah. There were three things. Then the spirit walking. It was all like three things that were like, hey, these are kind of things I haven't really seen in first-person shooters that could be used to grand effect. But
what I want to know is, did this stuff exist way back in the original design of this game? Like, if Prey had come out in 1998, would it have had the spirit walking and the portal stuff, or is this like all response to newer FPSs?
Well, the portal stuff was there, obviously. That was the big deal around it the first time around.
Yeah.
I think like the spirit walking and all that stuff was kind of like when they reinvented the game, when Human Head started working on it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I played through the whole game, and the single-player game, I enjoyed. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's a little cliche. It pulls off the whole, like, you know, the hero's journey, the rise to power of some.
Let's interrupt quickly to talk about that. Just my favorite part is that in the demo, you start off.
Yeah, let's get into this.
Here we go. Okay.
Grandpappy's message is we need to be, you know, we need to be true to our culture and our heritage. So you look around you, and you've got Judas Priest on a jukebox. You've got gambling machines, you know.
And the first thing Grandpa does.
And then Grandpa's swigging fire water as he's admonishing you.
And then you grab a wrench.
True to your roots.
And batter some white trash. I mean,
what we're referring to, if you haven't seen this, is the protagonist of the game is a Native American.
That's right.
Isn't his name Tommy Hawk?
No.
Isn't it a delicious pun? Isn't it Tommy Tawodi, and Tawodi is Cherokee for Hawk?
Well, pretty much.
Ostensibly,
his name is Tommy Hawk.
But at least
no mere coincidence.
Exactly. At least they make you work for it now, though.
Work for the racism.
The hard part is that said, like, that's actually a cool scene when you're starting off the game and you're like, at first, you know, all right, Grandpa's drinking fire water, Judas Priest on the jukebox, and I'm playing
five card draw.
You're like, wait a minute, I'm playing five card draw on a shooter. I got Judas Priest, you know, hearts up next,
and I'm drinking.
And Grandpappy's drinking fire water. Like, I don't know.
This is what I do in real life. Like, so it's not it is a stereotype. It's actually a good time.
It's kind of a good time.
I was racking up the score on Rune Man.
It's a really odd way to start the game.
It is the first 60 seconds of the game where you encounter all this stuff. And it just, I was playing it going, do I want to play this any further? This is already kind of like.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and that's intentions later aside and what they may have done. Like with the character eventually in the game. That's the first 60 seconds of the game.
Right. And if you're at all sensitive to that kind of stuff.
I don't know if I was extra sensitive that day, but in my head, I was just like, I can't believe Grandpa just walked over and got a drink.
At least that they establish some context helps make the otherworldly stuff seem all the more otherworldly. Because if you just started off like
in the
during
spaceship,
the abduction, I mean, you'd be like, oh, here's Quake 4 again. Because, you know, immediately it's guys on the...
But think of the million different ways they could have started it. It could have been on regular old Earth for the first 5 minutes, but he could have been anywhere. He could have been sitting at a diner with a cheeseburger. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't have to be in a bar with gambling machines and Judas
Priest. I mean, it's
Priest,
all stuff that, like, they had how long, 10 years they were working on this?
Yeah, I mean, he could have been in a bookstore reading Proust.
Maybe this isn't
he
the
could
best.
Have been, you know.
It's true.
You know, and his name didn't have to be Tommy Hawk, you know. So they made some weird decisions.
They're entry barriers, I call them.
Yeah.
Like, but after that, it's, you know, once you get...
Yeah.
The other entry barrier is it does seem immediately like Quake 4. Because you're like, hey, people are getting stronger.
Right, the people... Right. That's kind of a weird thing.
But
too,
then once you start getting into the gameplay mechanics, that's when it started to make me go, maybe I do want this game.
And the people mover, too, was also a combination of both of the Quake 4 people mover stuff and then also from Half-Life 2. You know?
And it's
so elaborate, weren't you asking? Like, the ultimate end is to, like, basically run, like, a spike through someone's chest, but, like, instead, they give you a good, you know, 2 miles of track, like it's Cedar Point or Sandusky or something, you know?
Yeah, it made no sense to me. You're following these people who are these poor humans who have been, you know, captured by the aliens, and they're going along this conveyor belt, and you're winding your way through this entire level. It gets to the end, and they just get, like, a spike through their chest. You know? Like, why did they just put a bullet in their head in the first second?
Why did they have to line them all around?
Because that conveyor belt must have been expensive for them to put in their spaceship, you know?
Yeah, they just buy it now.
It was a humanitarian end, because it was like, instead of cruel and unusual punishment, you get Mr. Toad's wild ride, and then...
Uh-huh. So it was kind of like the train ride in World War II. In Nazi Germany.
Nice.
That's bad. That's actually like something that Adam Carolla was just saying on his show the other day, but we won't go there.
I might need to bleep that out.
We'll work on it later.
Holocaust joke's not funny.
About 7 minutes and 30 seconds.
Okay, remember that. Mark that.
So, So
if you just heard a curious erasure sound or whatever and you're listening.
That's why. It's because of my Holocaust joke.
Yeah, because it's hilarious.
But in general, so we're all sort of liking Prey despite the sort of vaguely racist opening segment.
I'm lucky I continued to play it because it was cool after I got past like my mental block with it.
That whole Escher-like first level, that is amazing, I thought. You know, I really hadn't played anything like that, that kind of anti-gravity stuff.
Darren can answer is if that stays fresh and if they do enough, if they iterate enough on it, so that it's not like, because I mean, imagine if you're doing that for 6 hours and not twisting it, it's gonna.
Well, I mean, it's obviously it's a gimmick they play with in different degrees. There's like these targets you hit, and once you hit them, it reorients the gravity of a room you're in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you're on that air, so that you're the wall that you shot is now the floor.
But does that stay fresh?
Later on,
but the thing is, they take advantage of it in different ways later on. So yeah, I mean, like you'll be walking on a platform, and these guys materialize and dematerialize, and they'll appear on the wall, but it'll be like their ground.
Right.
So you're kind of like you'll throw a grenade, and it all of a sudden shifts to the right.
Do enemies, and now allegedly it's their natural environment, do they utilize it in clever ways?
They do utilize it in some basic ways. I mean, I haven't seen like some seriously crazy cool stuff, but like they are self-aware of like, oh, like I'm about to die, so like they'll double back. They'll actually run to the same health spawns that you would go to, and they'll grab the health before you can.
What about like using the gravity inversions and what again, you know?
Oh yeah, they actually do what they can to like try to hit me, or like they'll actually turn off wall walking. Like I'll be on a wall in one's part, and like they actually killed the gravity on me, and I'm like, oh crap, and I fell, and I did.
Are there any cool like puzzles with the spirit walking and the portals? Because I remember
yeah
oh yeah
thinking,
there's
I remember
there
thinking like, hey, this could be really cool if they did the following things with this setup, because when you disconnect yourself and then you
right no there actually are places where it seems like when I realized it was a spirit walking puzzle mm-hmm. I was very happy because mm-hmm. there's a place where it just seems like there's no way you can get by here mm-hmm. but that's because they have you standing in one place and you have to go over there the other place with cool. your spirit
definitely it does a pretty good job of mixing it up. It seems like a really cheap gimmick to keep using the portals and the gravity and all that. But it's used to a decent effect, and I just had a fun time playing it.
No, I have to say this is like the most original shooter I've played in a long time.
I was seriously disoriented repeatedly, like in a good way, not is a bad game
and then there
because
was
they're disorienting me, but like it made me have to like reorient myself like because they intended it, and it was fun and cool. And
uh-huh.
It made me confused in the way I think the player, like, you know, Tommy would have actually been in that situation.
Mr.
Tommy.
Hawk.
So, yeah,
Tommy,
it was cool.
And he's got a pet hawk, too.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, what was that old G.I. Joe character that came with the little plastic hawk that snapped on his wrist?
I don't know. It's like saying there's an Apache chief on Justice League. I don't know. I mean, like,
he has a pet hawk?
Well, Talon, the spirit.
That's right. Yeah.
So, actually, how far along are you?
Well, they commune better with nature, you know, the Native Americans. All right, I just have to bleep that out.
That's the assumption in the game.
No, that's what I mean.
It's a spirit hawk. It's a spirit mm-hmm. guide. He's on a vision quest. Essentially, the twist at the end is the whole thing's a vision quest.
Yeah.
He becomes the big man after.
And then Iron Eyes Cody comes out and
cries.
And cries.
Yeah.
You puke up. You see in first person, you puke up the peyote buttons. And then it's just like all...
burp, burp, burp. We're going to...
pray, everybody. Pray. Buy it today.
Yeah, pray. With thumbs up from us.
We've got to pray just to make it today.
Despite a few misgivings, we like it so far. The other game I've been playing, I think Darren's been playing, Titan Quest. Sean, too.
I'm on it.
Big thumbs up for Titan Quest, I got to say. Harshed on it a few podcasts ago. I apologize.
You know, I changed
my mind.
It's basically a perfected version of Diablo.
It is Diablo 2, again, which is what I dissed it about the first time. But, you know.
What turned you around?
It's been quite a few years since Diablo. It's not too soon for, I mean, I don't know if it's a perfected version, but it's not too soon for an iteration of it.
Yeah,
you know?
I think.
Well, there's a lot of little things that are like, you know, that's still kind of like, you know, issues. But I think that it took a lot of the things that made it fun, Diablo 2, improved it upon it with better graphics, and then still kind of like tweaked it like this, the skill trees.
The skill trees, the masteries are kind of interesting. Having the two trees to focus on gives you a lot to think about in terms of how to allocate your points.
And you get that, like, the mulligan factor. So, like, if you don't like your skill choices, you can, like, pay to undo them and just mix it up a little.
Mm-hmm.
Have you played it after the patch online?
Because
when I was playing,
not
one, a lot of disconnect issues or just latency issues.
Yeah, I've played it single player since the patch, which is nice. It actually still hasn't fixed my graphics problem, I got to say. I still got to play the game in windowed mode.
Weird.
It is weird.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, I heard some people were having audio problems and this and that, but I played it without problem.
Yeah, I really like it. I mean, it doesn't really do, you know, you can say that there's some innovations in terms of the skill tree or whatever, but it basically is Diablo 2, right?
It's got scorpions. It's got
spiders.
You go to the Orient, it turns into mantids. Uh-huh. I mean, it's got all the good stuff.
Those are the Asian scorpions.
The Asian scorpion, right? Yeah.
Of mythology.
Mm-hmm. Isn't there a lot of cheating online?
Yeah, but it's kind of hard to... I mean, it's not like someone cheating you in Counter-Strike or something with an aimbot.
Yeah, I don't
like,
get... How do you cheat in a cooperative game?
What you do...
Hack the files and load up your characters?
I've seen is like that skill tree you're talking about experimenting in and taking the mulligan, they don't have to because they basically...
Oh, they have all
load
the
up
points.
A character and see what basically they're capable of at the end and kind of do like a test drive and say, all right, I think I'm going to go with the spirit expertise or something like that, mm-hmm. you know? And then also back and forth with characters. Like I even had someone gave me some gold, basically took one character, joined the server, came in, dropped a bunch of stuff for me.
Yeah.
Came back in with the other one. So little stuff like that. And then some people like, I don't know, for some reason, I think it's because of the physics, even though you ramp up and you kill everything in one click, mm-hmm. it's just like, and this is a game about clicking. It's like, I realized I was on a tough boss. And I was like, that guy killed me in two hits. Like, if I could just click him three times, I'm so dead. Because you don't even have the time. At first, when you start off, I was appalled because, like, I didn't even need my left hand. I was like, even, you know, there was, like, no WASD needs.
Right.
And I was just like, oh, wow. So this is a game where I just click on stuff, huh? And
like
of course it's not that way. But
no, I mean you do need the hotkeys. You need all your spells and attacks ready to go. And I mean, when you get in the bigger fights with like a horde of dudes all at once.
Yeah, I quickly found that out.
There is a little bit of tactics involved. I mean, you're kind of right, though.
When you hit those guys with the big spells and stuff, it's cool, though. I mean, it's kind of like, whoa, physics is the stuff that you brag about in a shooter 6 years ago. But it's cool in a game like this because you're not used to, at least I'm not used to, you know, hitting five guys and sending them over a cliff with some
that's kind of
power
fun.
Spell. Mm-hmm. They get stuck in a tree sometimes.
Yeah, I like it. And, the loot, it's still impossible to not want to click on every chest and hope some cool piece of loot shows up.
Have you been able to collect an entire set of, like, artifacts?
No. I have. Oh, of artifacts.
I mean, you know, like of the, not artifacts, well, whatever it is, like the armor, the gloves.
Well, I haven't gotten a full set of like epic armor, if that's what you mean.
Yeah.
I've collected full sets of the relics to use to enchant armor.
I meant the full sets of armor and whatever.
I worry that MMOs may have spoiled me for games like this where you're, collecting these big epic sets of armor because there's no one around really.
To brag.
You can get Ryan online. We'll jump in there and check out your armor.
Yeah
we'll
check
look.
Show us your armor, man.
Yeah, you could just have us cry around your monitor. See, look.
It's an online game. It doesn't have to be like, this goes for Guild Wars too. It doesn't have to be a bajillion people all trying to load the bazaar so they can buy a linen shirt or nothing. I mean, you can have four people in a game or six people in the game, and it's still, it's got the gauntlet vibe going to it. And two of those six people might really appreciate your armor.
So buck up, Sean.
All right.
We'll appreciate your epic armor.
What about, they made a big deal about how all items in the game, like armor that the enemy wears, is actual, and that when you kill them, it falls to the ground. But it seems so far like you can't really do anything with it. Like, you kill some giant ogre chieftain fool, and you grab his oversized harness, and it's like...
And all of a sudden, instantly sized to fit you or something?
No, you can't use it. It's just, you're carrying around some ogre shirt.
You can sell.
Well, you can use it, some of it. Yeah, you could just sell it.
Use it as a beach towel or something.
To me, there's way too much money, and there's way too much loot in the game. Like, I haven't had money problems in forever. I could buy whatever.
Yeah, I got well over a million, and I'm like, wow, I have no concept of money.
And all the white armor I just leave on the ground. I don't even loot that stuff. I only take anything yellow.
That. So is it not challenging because of that, or is it?
That's still challenging.
It still is. I mean, the bigger fights are still challenging, and there's still that drive to want to get the cool loot.
So what's preventing you from being like super uber is that you can't buy all of the great armor, or you
inflation.
Can't buy infinite health.
Just think about inflation. That's the best way to put it. Suddenly it costs a lot of gold to get the cool magic stuff.
We need to play this multiplayer a group.
And we should make a map. We should design a campaign that we can share with people.
I'm actually working on that.
Nice. Make sure you have a lot of bottomless pits. Make it so there's a cave, and as soon as you walk in, you fall into a bottomless pit.
And die.
But that you don't die. You're just stuck in it.
It's kind of like when I designed the first-person shooter thing, but I'm working closely with Lord Galen, and we're making a Scorpion Slayer, too.
If it's like your first-person shooter, Darren.
Exactly.
Ryan's not buying.
I don't want to play.
You're not buying?
Wait, I don't think I ever played Darren's first-person shooter.
It was awful.
We gave it one star, didn't we?
Like, I gave it zero stars.
Oh, zero stars.
Didn't we put it on the disc and like people couldn't get it to work? Reach that point?
No, actually, we couldn't get the timing didn't work out for the disc, so I just I put it up online.
The timing didn't work out. Yeah.
Conveniently.
It didn't get past our quality control.
People missed a whole lot. The room with every weapon in the game on it, but as soon as you drop down, like you couldn't jump in that game or something, so as soon as you drop down over the 1 foot depression, you can't get back out of the room with all those guns.
No, you could jump, but you couldn't jump very far, so I basically had it so there's this little platform, you could walk down it's a half flight of stairs, and then it drops out, and there's nothing there, so you're just kind of stuck in this room with all the cool weaponry.
There's a little bit of that in Titan Quest, and I think we've talked about that in the podcast before, haven't we, about the sort of weird... like the tank that can't get past the picket fence sort of thing. Titan Quest, there's a little bit of like, you come upon these like 1 foot high ridges that your character can't jump up.
Yeah, the artificial barriers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to talk about last time you were passing by and you were complaining about how some guy needed you to clear out some scorpions so he could take the path to the next town. And then you'd do it and you'd come back. and he'd still be there. And you'd be like, I cleaned all the scorpions.
Yeah, that annoyed me. Yeah, there's one quest early on in Titan Quest where, yeah, there's this old dude standing by the side of the rug with his cows.
And he's
I can't get past here because you got the goblins up ahead.
And he hooks you up with gold and thanks you, but then he doesn't go.
Right. Well, you go back. You, you kill all the goblins. You go back, right, and he says,
ah, thank you. Now I can get down the rug with my cows.
And then you come back like 5 hours later. He's still standing there. And if you click on him, he says the same thank you again.
Yeah.
Well, you're thanking me, but get going. Move.
You want to see like he's more radiant AI.
If I could, if you
can't hurry,
Neffel
me.
There,
wouldn't, I mean, how hard would it have been for
the developers?
I mean,
think of what it would do for the narrative. If you saw that guy in that town, and every time you saw him with his cows in the stall, you'd be like, you know, he is there. They're alive, but for me, but for my intervention.
That's right. And he maybe he could tell some of the other townsfolk, I helped him get his cows to town.
Does that make you feel good, Sean?
Yeah.
That's such a little detail, but like that's totally the kind of thing that when you're playing just breaks like immersion for you.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I'm sort of kidding, but I'm sort of not.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, that's the kind of stuff they have in Oblivion.
Shooting spells and chopping at them.
Because then it just makes it feel that much more artificial. Mm. He's just going to be standing there forever.
It's just a theme park.
He doesn't exist for real. there's not really an old man in the road.
That's the rad thing we said. Like, if they do make that World of Warcraft movie, but there's going to be a bunch of heroes in a line, and you'll see, like, before the climatic battle at the end and they fight the dragon, you'll see a bunch of people just killing it. Yeah. And then the rest, all right, guys, we're up.
Yeah, that would have to be the very last scene of the WoW movie.
Yeah.
The
everyone
monster respawning.
Yeah.
It's weird. We kind of get over that, though, don't you? I mean, like, at this point, that doesn't bother me in MMO anymore.
Yeah, I can't even. I've thought of, tried to think about, like, how else they could possibly do it and still make it an MMO, and I can't think of any way, and obviously no one else can, so.
I just remember one time, a long time ago, and wow, a bunch of us who were online, we didn't know each other, it was just in general chat, where we're having this sort of meta discussion about, who's the guy you kill in Goldshire? It's like Van Cleef or something.
Oh, in Deadmines? Van Cleef, yeah.
Deadmines, that's right.
On top of the pirate.
And somebody said in general, there was a group looking for a group, you know, looking for a group to kill Van Cleef. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, like, man, poor Van Cleef, that dude's been killed like 40 times today already. Yeah. You know, and everyone just talked about, you know.
That's it's existence.
But what can they do? He can't die forever.
Yeah, it's just kind of like Disney World. You kind of accept that there's other people going to go on the Indiana Jones adventure when you're done.
Right.
And they will get the gold, too.
Yeah.
And it's fun, and you kind of deal with that. And I mean, that's why something like Oblivion, like, works, because you're actually affecting the world, and, like, there isn't someone coming along. Even though there's a lot of similar gameplay mechanics, and you're like, I'm still in an open-ended RPG world, like, there's no one's going to come around and do what you just did.
Yeah, and those
there's
and the quests
that
you solve,
too, though. I mean,
but the quests do end, and they do have consequences, right?
So, but sometimes it's like you pick some dude's pocket or something, and then all of a sudden he turns around on the next guy. Howdy, neighbor. And they punch him in the face and like he's upset for a second and come back.
Yeah,
and
yeah, there's still some of that. Never mind.
So did you kill Van Cleef?
Of course. I did. Of course.
With prejudice.
All right.
Any noob can kill Van Cleef.
Yeah. Yeah, Ryan.
Oh.
Jeez.
Maybe not you.
Talking like that, I'm
you can't kill Van Cleef in Guild Wars, though.
Ooh.
Are you still playing Guild Wars, by the way?
Yeah.
We have to do this every week.
The Guild Wars check. How many hours?
Three times because we missed two.
How many hours now?
I think the character that I've been playing, my ranger, I think I just broke 200 hours. It's 200 something at this point.
Wow. 200 hours of your life gone.
Or maybe, God, when I wrote the review, it was like 172 hours, and that was nearly a month ago.
So you've only played 30 hours?
It's got to be up in the high 200s.
Okay.
I just broke 1,000,000 experience with him.
Oh, bravo. Uh-oh.
So, I'm awesome.
Your mom is proud.
I just broke a million Van Cleef.
Yeah. Yeah, do you think if your mom heard that, would she be proud? My son.
That's
she has 1,000,000 XP now.
All this talk is shameful.
Wow. He won't even answer me. I'm sorry, Ryan.
Well, give us some more, at least we're talking Guild Wars. Give us something really incriminating. I mean, something for the folks out there listening.
Drop a pearl of wisdom.
Like, Howdy, what have you done in that game where you stopped and said to yourself, I can't let anyone find out about this. And then now's your chance to let them all find out.
Or the opposite.
It.
Something you want everyone to know. I was such a badass tonight because I did.
I've gone through all of the all the main story missions. There's three tiers of rewards in each of them. depending on like how quickly you complete the missions, mm-hmm. you can get like a standard expert and master's reward.
Also, like I just bronze, silver, gold.
Yeah, I just finished all of those on master this weekend. I got my last one.
Probably. That's awesome.
Remember when Activision, back on the Atari days, would have like these patches you could get, like
you
Boy Scout patches? See where I'm going with this? You remember that?
Yeah.
So if you buy their game or beat it or get some score, you get a patch for it and you put them on this jacket. Like if you could get that for Guild Wars, would you rock it?
Hell no.
Come on, the Guild Wars jacket. You would totally rock that.
I'd rock it for my battlefield patches. I got added something else to my
game,
fruit salad.
You don't wear a game
I'm just
clothing,
playing.
Sean.
I don't wear that crap. Oh, give me a break. I mean, a freaking break.
Yeah, you said when you first started, you said something like, you know, this chest isn't for sale. When I said if you wanted a game shirt.
I did.
It's like, oh, excuse me.
Working free as a walking
well,
billboard.
Mine is.
I just try not to, like, wear name brands like that.
Nah, I hear you. I so it's not just gaming?
No, it's not just gaming. I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's like people got to pay for advertising.
No, I know. They're always just kind of like my undershirts, you know, like under this. Mm-hmm. I got a black button-down shirt here. I'm going to strip for the podcast here.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, see? Bethesda.
Oh, yes. No. It's not as bad as like if you're wearing a NASCAR jacket where you're like pimping Nabisco and Oreo and Pepsi and Walmart. And
I saw some guy wearing, I was at a cafe in San Francisco. This guy's wearing like a leather Bud Light jacket.
It's nice. That's nice.
What the hell?
Well, proud of your liquor. Leather and Bud Light.
There's some guy, I take the train.
That's like
to
a
and
silk
from.
Boone's Farm sweater.
I take the train to and from work every day. And there's this guy that's always on the train when I go home, and he's always wearing like this Star Wars leather jacket with like Darth Maul on the back.
Oh man!
And like his Indiana Jones shirt.
Is it leather or is it one of those?
Yeah,
like,
it's leather.
Those pseudo silk polyester leather ones where they've got, you know, it's like the print everywhere on it. So like they'll have some Dungeons and Dragons dragon like breathing fire like down the sleeves and all in the belly.
Hey Ryan, isn't it like our demographic? What if the guy's listening to us on the podcast as you're describing him on the train home?
I hope he doesn't recognize me.
No, we just want
to
say that you're cool.
Send us that jacket to burn and we'll give you some free games.
No, we think you're cool, sir.
Yeah, if you're listening.
If you're not, you're a jackass.
Darth Maul.
Buy some real clothes.
At least put Darth Vader on it.
Ryan, yeah, I was Darth just Maul. Noticing he's wearing a shirt that says Strictly for My Ninjas, but there's irony in that, though. Like, the Darth Maul, like, the guy is strict. I mean, well, maybe you're like, dude, these are ninjas. But the Darth Maul guy is like, that's probably the most significant addition to the Star Wars Sith gallery, Rogues gallery, since, I don't know. You think he's funny?
Yeah, you know, you're right. If you're going to pick any Star Wars character, I mean, isn't he just like a notch above Jar Jar?
Yeah, he's badass.
He's badass.
Darth Maul?
But he was
the only thing he when was that wasted. Movie came out, and the even like the most hopeless apologetics people for that movie will be like, well, it's got Darth Maul. Did you see those lightsaber battles?
He left me so cold. He doesn't say anything. He's just like a robot.
He's just a ninja. Green screen wire stunt fool.
Yeah, boy, if we start getting into Star Wars here.
All right.
You know, that'll be great for the letters, though.
Yeah.
To start.
Excuse me.
That's a guy. Or if you, yeah, just like, or if you know the names of the random Jedi Council people, and I mean, I'm pretty bad since I said Jedi Council instead of rogue dudes sitting in a semicircle with the glow sticks. But but like, if you know how there's all those random ones, the guys with like the big boner heads and stuff, you know that guy's name.
Oh, Ragnar Shekin, he's been alive for 4,000 years.
By the way, when he said boner, he meant just like a bone. Like, you know.
Right.
Yeah. I thought he was going to have a joke.
Oh, yeah, a joke. Yeah. Yes. Oh, what a boner you made.
Yes.
Okay.
He made a boner.
Big joke head.
Yeah.
You know, somebody on the forums called our early podcast a train wreck. Mm-hmm. I think this might be the quote.
Wow. Welcome back.
Let's get back on topic and talk about recently. It turns out, I guess, that a lot of people are dying in Half-Life 2 Episode 1 on the elevator scene.
That's right.
It's basically the part, if you haven't played, where you're going down on an elevator. You've got your sidekick Alex with you, and large pieces of the Citadel are falling on your head.
Right.
And Alex is your indication that you need to look up and use your gravity gun to grab these things before they fall and break your glass elevator. So I guess all the stats, because, you know, Steam tracks everything you do in the game, whether you're looking at Alex's ass or trying to get through the elevator alive.
No. I'm in trouble.
So it turned out that that a lot of people were dying. So they actually patched the game now to make that significantly easier.
Right.
And the controversy then is, you know, is that catering to the lowest common denominator and dumbing the game down because...
Maybe that was actually just being nice. Maybe they were just doing people a favor.
But, right. what if you don't want that favor? I mean,
but like, how hard was that section for you? You know, it's like you maybe died once.
Well, I died once, and then I realized, oh, the stuff's coming down. I got to take care of it.
I probably died a few more times than once, but you know, I mean, first you have to figure out what's going on, right? Like, oh, geez, okay, so I have to make sure these things don't hit the platform.
Mm-hmm.
And then it took me like two or three times to get it right. It's basically like a shooting gallery,
yeah.
right? You just have to look up.
Well, you look up and catch the thing.
And catch it and shoot them before they hit
the platform. It's an interesting kind of design thing in that game because you have to get the cue and then do something or you're faced with the reloading screen, you know?
Yeah.
And that's like...
I mean, that was probably the biggest annoyance, right, was the reloading screen. Might have been nice if Alex just said, I don't know. Well, how else could they have done it, really?
Yeah. I mean, that's just the thing. You create a scenario like that where, I mean, something is coming, and it's coming at a scripted moment, and you have to do something to get away from it or you die. And it's really like a really old-school mentality.
To die first to learn what you should do?
Yeah. I mean, just the way things have gone. Like, for example, I mean, I can give one anecdote from my visit to Crytek in Germany and what they're doing with Crysis. And, you know, we were actually talking about that scene.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of... thing is actually like, you know, it's anathema to them and what they're trying to accomplish. So in this case, put a hypothetical example out where you're trying to get on the back of a cargo plane and you're in a Jeep. And, you know, say if you make you got the timing and you get your Jeep in there and you take off, that's fine. But if you miss it, they're not going to make you restart the level. Then you go wait and something else happens and maybe a helicopter will come and get you. Or maybe you can take a back road in the Jeep and just end up doing something else. But, I mean, there's definitely a mindset where people say that it's just not a good...
Maybe the debris just could have kept falling down. I mean, there might have been a way to not have you hit the end game screen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You're right. That part's annoying.
Because I guess it kind of comes down to like, I mean, say, you know, immediately before that where a dog throws you over the pit in the car. And if it was like, if you didn't press mouse one at the right time and then you'd actually, instead of making it, you'd actually get crushed or something like that and then have to reload. I don't know. It's really like that. Really rigid, really simple.
Well,
I mean, there's no
it's funny, my takeaway from that whole incident was more, it wasn't the fact that they patched her, which I don't care, I got past it, but whatever. Just the fact that they're actually tracking all that stuff, I thought was the interesting part.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I mean, they're watching, they can watch everything we do in the game.
And they'll,
a little creepy.
They showed graphs like if you
could opt in, I think. I mean, basically, if you in the menu system, you can like opt in for like uploading your stats.
No, they're watching.
In Sin, you can, but I guess they leave it on for everything.
Yeah, this one, it's everything, and you can see their graphs like where they have curves for where people are dying, and you'll see them spike on certain areas, how long they're spending, and how far they're making it before they turn the game off, and all that stuff.
It is great feedback for them, I guess. Right? I mean.
Yeah, it totally should be. It's just a matter of, I mean, I don't know. I don't really suspect they're in danger of it, but just like kind of designed by committee where you're letting.
Right.
But I mean,
yeah.
Games are interactive and you've got to have, you know, you've got to cater to the player, obviously. But
the ramifications are just kind of huge, though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want a game company to know that I'm like, you know, dancing around naked and, you know. I mean, I guess they won't know if I'm doing that in real life, but if I'm doing it inside their game.
I mean, what can you really do in Half-Life?
Yeah, it's not like they're getting
what's incriminating,
releasing your credit card number. It was like you died 50 times on the elevator thing. I mean, it's incriminating, but it's not like they caught you.
Oh, God, that's so true, though.
Dancing around naked, like you're saying.
Right, but what if you're reviewing the game? And
that's the rad part.
That's kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you review the game and you give it a lame score, say, and then say, hey, you know what? We know from watching. You only played for half an hour, dude.
Right.
And that actually happened once a while ago.
Yeah.
Not with us, though.
No,
not
with
CGW.
Not with
we
us.
We played to the end.
It was a GameSpot.
It was a GameSpot.
Don't say who.
Sorry. Or it was a freelancer.
Well, we think. I could be wrong.
No. The game was Savage.
No.
The multiplayer game, and they do stat tracking on people, how long they're playing. And
the person
reviewed the game, whoever it was.
I know EA can do that with Battlefield, too, because, I mean, I personally went to, like, you know, as we were playing the last booster that came out, I actually, you know, I saw the people in the test things, and it's like, oh, this guy's from this place, and this guy's from that, and I was kind of curious to see if anyone else out there is as into it as I am, and I won't name names, but I found quite a few who had fewer than 100 global points, which is about what I'll average in a single game, so, and if I'm, if a lot of people are at about 800,000 or something, they'll give you an idea of how authoritative some of those reviews are out there.
That's good to know. I think.
And it breaks it down to the time, too. I mean, you could see they spent so-and-so amount of time on this specific map. They died this many times. I mean, basically everything, every kind of information you can want from the thing. So
it would make a difference. I would certainly want to know if I was at a game company how long some moron who gave my game a 5 played.
Yeah. You know? I mean, you don't want to go to the ad hominem thing or be too insecure, but it's like, if you did put all your livelihood into something and someone rips it, at least if you look and you're like, all right, they definitely played it more than what we expect the average person to. I mean, they're definitely qualified to come to these conclusions. Or if conversely, like you found out, I mean, they barely got past the curve that they expect most people to go through in one day, and then continue to play for months and months after that. And then I think it's a valid point that you can make. I think they're qualified to make a case for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
So what, do you think they should track our hours playing when we review games in general?
Well, I mean,
the reviews editor.
Some games, they just do. I mean, like, I'm sure they track, like, WoW.
It's almost like a third disinterested party would have to do it for it to seem, like, really fair. Because then there's, like, this potential for this kind of weird antagonism where the publisher's trying to police the critics, and that kind of can lead to some bad precedent, and then this and that. But if there's like some kind of like the gaming ombudsman or something who's just like out there to make sure everyone's playing right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if somebody's not playing right, that's partially, you know, the publication's fault.
Right. Well, you would think it would show up in the review. You know, like you can tell, any of us can tell, we can tell when we're reading a review, and it's clear they played the game for 5 hours.
I'm just saying you don't want those scenarios where it's like, say you made, I don't know, what's some horrible dump movie that just came out. But anyway, you're the director of that, and you read a review, and then you start
click
emailing, or you buy a page in the Times, you know, for click, and you're like, this idiot just didn't understand. He didn't see the significance that the remote is really like the Holy Grail or whatever. I haven't seen the movie, you know. So, I mean, you get to some, some potential nastiness, I guess.
Yeah.
I think we'll work with a third party, but as far as, I mean, I like the idea behind it, kind of keeps everyone honest, but at the same point, everyone's going to have an agenda with that, so you have to have a gaming ombudsman or whomever.
Right. Well, I think it's probably safe to say that will never happen.
Exactly. Yeah. So in that case, it's a horrible thing.
It would be interesting to see how it feeds conspiracy theories, though, because just the very idea, I mean, you see how we react. You have to think about it. As soon as you know you're being watched, immediately people are like...
Honestly, my take on what Valve did is I don't see it as a problem at all. I mean...
It just speaks to their design technique, just instead of, like, you know, the lead designer saying, what I have done is gospel. They kind of look at the players and the reactions.
Right.
And,
I mean, I don't know. If you're the developer and you're watching the stats and... I didn't look at the stats for this, but if 80% of people play are getting stuck there, why not make it easier?
Well, the other thing, too, is that, like, because you're not – it's not a patch that, you know, is a matter of volition where you're deciding to download it. It's going to auto-update. So unlike other games where there are various patched iterations and you could say, well, 1.2 was the best, and that's how I want to remember this game, and that's how I'm going to play it. It's like – it's conceivably gone. The game that was your... I mean, if this sort of thing would continue hypothetically, so, you know, a year from now, the game that you played and experienced will no longer exist or be available.
Right. I mean, but just keep in mind that, like, this decision they made here, those are the decisions they're making all along when they're developing a game.
They are.
Right? I mean, every puzzle, every jumping thing, every shooting match is balanced.
And all, so this all is just they iterated on according to feedback.
According to
feedback.
Their own playtesting.
Right.
So this is just further playtesting. Mm. I don't know. It didn't bug me.
All right, the controversy that wasn't controversial. What else do we got? We got to have something.
Is that all we got?
Well,
how are we doing on time there, Darren? You can say out loud.
I think we're about
38 minutes in.
That's a lot of time.
That's a lot of time.
Right. Maybe we're done for this week.
Well, hang
Ryan?
On. Wait,
oh, hold on.
Ryan, we got a little teaser here, don't we?
Ryan Scott.
Before we go.
Yes, sir.
Our August cover story.
Oh, yeah.
Is it August? Is August?
It's August.
August. It's August.
Okay.
Should be getting our copy back from the printers really soon.
Yeah, well, the issue that we just finished and you will be seeing on store shelves around the 25th.
Subscribers will be getting it this week, I believe.
Has a little game called Sam and Max on it.
Woot.
Woot.
And people have been waiting...
13?
Gosh, 13 years. and have weathered two canceled games for like a real sequel to Sam and Max Hit the Road. And we've got the story for you. So
that's
go,
right.
Go buy our magazine.
Only in CGW. On sale soon. It's looking awesome so far.
No, I'm very psyched for
You can
for
see
that
all
story.
Those cool covers, too. The ones, the mock-ups that they made that we didn't use, they're on there on the Telltale site.
Oh, TelltaleGames.com.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Sam and Max artist Steve Purcell drew us and painted an original piece of artwork for our cover.
Right. So when you see the August cover, that is an original piece of art by the very creator of Sam and Max. He did it just for us. So we're very excited about that story. And if you didn't play the first Sam and Max, you are missing out on one of the greatest, I won't even say adventure games, one of the greatest PC games ever made. You really think that? Is that your opinion?
You know what? Adventure games.
Really?
Adventure, like that, it's, for adventure games, it's always been a toss-up for me between that and Gabriel Knight 1. Like, those are my two favorite adventure games.
Gabriel Knight, so that's the one we always bring up.
Nah, that's Gabriel Knight 3 is the one. 3 is the one that
sucked.
One and two were good.
Okay.
So
I put Sam and Max in the top 10.
It would definitely be up there. But then again, I also
I would agree with that.
You would agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hilarious game. And so finally a sequel, and we got the story. Actually, Ryan got the story. Way to go, Ryan.
Hell yeah.
All right. I think we're done for this time.
I think so.
We're sorry that we weren't here for 2 weeks. We're sorry that we sucked this week.
Hey, we rambled on for like 40 minutes, so.
We did. But thank you all for listening, and thank you for missing us these last couple weeks. I don't know who all those people were who said they miss us, but I have a feeling they have been.
It's probably the furries.
It was my
the
mom.
Furries yeah. And Darren's mom. Hopefully those aren't the same. Hopefully there's no crossover there. Oh,
last I heard, no, she's quit. Cold turkey.
Ew. Okay. All right. We will see y'all again next week, and thank you for listening.
Love you, Mom.